This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. May the 6th will be here before you know it, and San Antonians will be asked to decide on $850 million in bond projects. There are 170 projects listed in the 2017 municipal bond package. If all are approved, neighborhoods across the city will get some badly needed maintenance for streets and sidewalks and drainage. Parks and libraries will get upgrades, and there's about 50 major citywide projects, including investing in the World Heritage Sites at the Alamo, the Old Spanish Missions, and Athletic Center at UTSA, and also the first-of-its-kind housing development project. To explain the process and the financing of the bonds, we're joined by San Antonio City Manager Cheryl Scully, and later in the hour, we'll be debating the pros and cons of the bond items. But first, Cheryl Scully, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
And lots of ways for our listeners to get into the conversation. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. That phone number again, 210-614-8980. So, City Manager Scully, talk about the process. How do you develop a list of all these 170 projects for a bond package?
Well, this is a community bond program, and so this is a grassroots effort where we talk with residents in the community about what they want to see included in the bond program. And 70% of the bond program is devoted to basic infrastructure, streets, sidewalks, and drainage. And so as we look at our vast community with more than 4,000 miles of streets, we all have those favorite projects or those things that we think need to be improved. Over the past decade, we've been able to address a number of the major projects, but this program is developed in concert with the community. We have city engineering staff that take a look at street condition and evaluate that, make recommendations, and then that's debated by a group of citizens. More than 150 residents participated in the process and reached consensus on that, which should be recommended to the voters for the May 6th election.
So neighborhood associations, what kind of voice do they have in this process?
Well, all of our meetings are open to the public, and so over the fall months of October, November, and December, more than 1,400 residents participated in 25 meetings of the five bond committees. There were also five tours on Saturdays of all the bond projects under consideration. Residents had a chance to participate, to voice their support or advocate for additional projects that might not be on the recommended list to be considered. And then the committees debated them. Each committee had 30 members appointed by the mayor and council from across the city. The mayor appointed the co-chairs of each of the five bond committees. And then the council members selected residents from neighborhood associations and communities in their district to advocate for projects throughout the city.
Do you start off with the number $850 million and start filling in the blanks, or do you go about finding out what projects need to be done and you come up with the number?
We work on the financing first. So if we go back 10 years to the 2007 bond program, when the mayor and council asked me to develop the largest bond program I thought the city could handle. And we looked at that from three standpoints. First, financial. What could we do without a property tax rate increase? And this program does not include a property tax rate increase, nor did the 07 or 2012 programs. So we looked at our financial capability. Then secondly, ability to execute. It's one thing to have a large bond program, but if you don't have the business process and staff in place to be able to execute the program, it doesn't really matter how big it is. And then thirdly, community input. That is the citizen process. We want the residents of the community to debate the projects and decide which ones should be included throughout the community for consideration by the residents. So we do the financials first, and we concluded that we could accommodate up to $850 million without a property tax rate increase. So that was our base number. And then we focused on how much for streets and drainage, fire stations, libraries, parks, and recreation.
We're speaking with City Manager Cheryl Scully about the bond package that goes to voters on May the 6th. We invite your phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980. We really are focused on the process here about how we develop the bond package, and then we look at how this is paid for. Many people are saying, I don't understand why we have to have a bond package to pay for streets. Isn't that what I'm already paying for? Aren't the streets paved all the time just with the money that I pay in my sales tax and stuff?
Yes, as a matter of fact, over the past decade, we've been able to double our street maintenance budget by reducing in other areas and prioritizing what's most important. As you know, 2/3 of the city's general fund budget supports public safety, police, and fire. So that leaves 1/3 for everything else, for street maintenance, for parks, for libraries, for social services, for the municipal courts, for the general administration of the city. Everything else is in that one other third. So we're able to do annual street maintenance, about $65 million a year. But major street projects, some of the major streets like Zarzamora or De Zavala or Bulverde or Austin Highway, you know, those streets are large capital investments, and they cannot be handled in an annual city budget. Let me give you an example.
So it's not just filling in potholes anymore at that point.
Well, no, it's not. We do that on an annual basis as part of the maintenance budget and some small overlays on neighborhood projects or neighborhood streets. But the bigger projects like a Hausman Road that we just completed, 3.5 miles from 1604 to I-10, that was a $43 million project. So you could see that takes almost the entire annual city budget for streets. So we have to tackle those larger, big projects through bond programs. And that's what major cities who are taking care of their infrastructure, that's what they do.
And so we hear about San Antonio's triple-triple-A bond rating. What does that mean?
A triple-triple, to use or extrapolate on a basketball analogy. So that means that the rating agencies that evaluate cities and their financial capability have rated us the highest possible rating in the country. And so of all the major cities, that is any of our cities that are greater than 1 million in population in the U.S., we're the only one to have a triple-triple or a triple-A bond rating by all three of the municipal rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. What that means is that we can sell our bonds at very low interest rates. That allows us to put more money into production, less money spent on interest.
So what do they look at to determine that San Antonio deserves a AAA?
Well, they look at our financial reserves. And early in my tenure, we took a look at our reserves. I recommended to council that it was too low. We had less than 3% in reserves. And so over the past decade, we've built that up to a 10% reserve. Secondly, they look at our local economy. Is it diverse? How strong is the job market? Is there growth in the business sector? so that's a major factor. And they thirdly look at the overall financial management of the city. And we've recommended, the council has adopted, strong financial policies that allow us to manage our resources well and still provide and deliver services to the community at the lowest possible cost in the best way that we can. We actually have used technology and made reductions throughout the city budget to be able to accommodate the kinds of expenditures we need to make.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Cheryl Scully. We'll see how the city's AAA bond rating, how that could pay off with this bond package, the 210-614-8980. This is The Source. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio City Council has approved a bond package to take to the voters. That's for infrastructure, streets, drainage, parks, libraries. There's also $20 million there for proposed housing-related projects. This is the largest bond package in the city's history, and you get to decide whether it's a go or no-go on May the 6th when we have a citywide election. But what questions do you have about that now? now. We're joined by San Antonio City Manager Cheryl Scully to learn more about the bond package and how the city's AAA bond rating could pay off when it comes to this type of financing. So what does that mean? So we got AAA, that means we're a good investment. You know, we're gold-plated here in San Antonio. So when we put the bonds out for market, so we say we're gonna have all these projects. We got to finance them somehow. We've put out these municipal bonds on the market. People see San Antonio's got a AAA. And so when they buy them, they're able to buy them at a lower cost. And so we save money. Is that how that works?
That's correct. It's similar to your home mortgage. So the lower the interest rate, the less money out of pocket that you spend on a monthly basis, and you have more disposable income.
And they're looking at how the city is run and also how much money we got in the bank, just like when we apply for a loan. You know, they're going to look
at that. That's correct.
And they're going to say, well, it looks like, you know, they got it together. So, yeah, we'll give them a very good rate.
That's the essence of it. And our rate is low. In fact, we issue the debt over the 5 years, so we don't issue all $850 million at once, but rather as we need the cash. So we manage the cash flow. We also manage and refinance debt. If there is outstanding debt that's at a higher interest rate than what we could obtain, and so that's something that we do on a regular basis. In fact, last summer, when we issued the final bit of the 2012 bond program and also refinanced some debt, the interest rate was on average 2%. In fact, some of the bonds that we issued were at 1.5% up to 2.4%. So very low interest rates, which allows us to put more money into production. That is, money is spent on projects as opposed to paying interest to the bondholders.
So with the $850 million bond project package, that's a lot of money. Does that put the AAA in jeopardy?
No. As a matter of fact, we meet with the rating agencies on an annual basis. My chief financial officer, budget director, and I meet with them over many hours. We spend an entire day meeting with the rating agencies, discussing our financial position, what we're doing in terms of our upcoming bond programs, how we're managing those resources, and they take all of that into consideration as they rate us. And it is on an annual basis, so not only did we achieve that for the first time for the city of San Antonio back in 2008, we have been able to maintain that AAA bond rating for the past 7 consecutive years.
So one email comment I got before the program was that there's too much money here going towards debt service, that it would be cheaper to fund the projects outright to pay as you go. Is that doable?
Well, no, not without cutting all services in the city's general fund budget. So our total general fund budget is $1.1 billion, and this is $850 million of debt for capital projects that will pay off over the next decade. We actually issue 20-year debt for these major projects, and on average, we pay off the debt in less than 10 years. So we can't do it all in 1 year, because then there'd be no money left to pay for police and fire, operate the libraries, provide social services, maintain the streets, fill potholes, put up traffic signs, all of those things that we do on an annual basis.
So, Cheryl Scully, since you've become the city manager for San Antonio, this is the third consecutive 5-year bond capital improvements package that you have supervised. Is that right?
Yes. In 2006, Mayor Hardberger and the city council asked that we develop the largest bond program I thought we could handle, and we did that and took that to the voters in May of 2007. It was for $550 million. We've completed those projects. And then with the 2012 program, a $596 million, almost $600 million bond program we took to the voters, and that too was approved. We're completing those projects. 96% are completed or finishing up construction, and the other 4% will be underway by May. And this will be the third, $850 million, all three of those without a property tax rate increase.
But before you became city manager and we would have bond packages now and then, nothing like the size that we're seeing today. Can you talk about your thought process? What do you think about these types of bond packages and city transformation?
Yes. So for the 15 years prior to my being city manager, the city issued debt for about $350 million in general obligation bonds for street and sidewalk drainage projects. That's very little for a city of our size. We are 475 square miles. We have more than 4,000 miles of streets. And so as you think about the expense associated with a major street project, like the Hausman Road that I used as an example a little bit ago, $43 million, it doesn't go very far. And in fact, previously, the city used to divide by 10. That is, there are 10 single-member council districts. The mayor would have a portion of funds, and then they divide by 10. So if you have a $100 million program, which is what they used to do, that's less than $10 million per council district. The District 10 Senior Center that we built as part of the 2012 bond program cost $10 million, and so they would not have even had enough funds to do that project back in that day. So we were playing catch-up. We all know that there are so many miles of streets that need improvement, but through these three programs, we have been able to make a difference. Improve the infrastructure, add fire stations. We just did a groundbreaking yesterday on new fire station number 2 on the south side near Zarzamora in Villarete. So we're adding fire stations, we're adding libraries. We're a growing community, and we need to repair our infrastructure and build new infrastructure.
But a city transformation, I mean, we're not just talking about maintenance and keeping the streets paved and filling in potholes and fire stations, but there's projects in here that are big vision and that are citywide projects and have, for example, the Alamo and the Spanish colonial missions doing some investing in that area. I mean, is that really what the bond is for?
Yes, and in fact, because we have a larger bond program without a property tax rate increase, we're able to tackle both. We're able to take care of some of those major street needs and parks that need repair and further development, but we're also able to tackle some of the bigger projects like Hemisphere, the next phase of the development of Hemisphere. We've all been to Yanaguana Garden, the Children's Park, Phase 1, that was completed and funded through the 2012 bond program. The local community, several hundred thousand have used that park in the first year. So doing those major transformational projects are important. We're part of an effort right now working with the state of Texas on the restoration of the Alamo. There are funds recommended in this bond program toward that effort to reimagine the Alamo, restore the buildings and the plaza area to create the appropriate and respectful place that it deserves. And we're asking the state for funding as well as private philanthropy. With the Spanish colonial missions, we're recommending in this bond program a visitor center and museum, some infrastructure improvements adjacent to the 5 Spanish colonial missions, in addition to the Alamo. The other 4 were now a World Heritage Site, the missions. And so we need to make those improvements so that our local community, the state, as well as the nation can visit this World Heritage Site. That creates more business in the community as well as more tourists come to San Antonio.
Phone lines are open. If you've got a question for City Manager Cheryl Scully about the bond project and the package totally, the number is 210-614-8980. Jerry is on the line. And Jerry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to, my question was, I know y'all are trying to concentrate on infrastructure, you know, bettering our roads and drainage systems and everything. And I know there's a big concern everywhere about the drainage system. Doesn't seem to, I know the south side, the west side, northwest side is getting bad. Concentrating on road development infrastructure, why don't y'all concentrate on the community and like a broken window theory of knocking down houses, things that shouldn't be there, and starting up something fresh, because everything's getting redeveloped. And the north side, central, everything's getting crowded that way, instead of trying to repair the south side, the west side, so you can attract more people and it could be evened out instead of everybody concentrated on one side of town.
Jerry, thank you for your phone call. Appreciate that comment. So, City Manager Cheryl Scully.
Well, the one thing about this bond program, it's roughly proportional. That is, there are projects throughout San Antonio, and while we don't divide by 10, this 10 single-member council districts, there are projects for and throughout San Antonio. In fact, Every resident either works or lives within a mile of a bond project, and that's pretty phenomenal when you think about how large we are geographically. There are also strategies about redeveloping the areas of the community that need more improvement, and I think that's where our neighborhood improvement bonds come in. $20 million is recommended in this bond program to do something similar to what the caller just described, which is acquire some vacant property, make the infrastructure improvements adjacent to it, maybe even prepare the land for development and then sell it to a nonprofit housing developer or a for-profit housing developer to create housing in the community.
Right, but that involves, there's some issue with the charter, and so you've developed like a solution for it, but I'm wondering how bulletproof that solution is if someone challenged it.
Yes, we think it is. And have worked with our bond counsel and our legal staff as well as the state on making sure that our language is appropriate and consistent for our city charter, which today prohibits the development of housing by the city. And so these bonds will be used for neighborhood improvements to support housing. It's not for building housing, but rather to build and repair the utilities, the streets, the sidewalks, adjacent to property that could create some additional new housing for the community. It also means the city could buy some vacant lots or tear down an old building and get the site ready for someone else to come in and build new housing for the community.
And that $20 million is being used for this development. Is that like $20 million once it's consumed, it's gone, or does it sort of flow back into the system and works in a multiplier effect?
Good question. It's a revolving fund, so it can replenish itself over time, and that is the intent. As we acquire vacant property, that as that is sold, then those funds would go back into creating more space for more housing in the community.
All right, one caller with Antonio. Antonio, hey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about those committees and the number of the people participating in it. It may be a large number, but their input is not really considered or even listened to because the city already has their agenda and already has their conclusion. So it's a dog and pony show just creating this committee so to satisfy the the question of who participated. But I sat in the governance committee, the last meeting, where they're deciding which committees to do away with. And there were complaints from citizens there that participated in the committees that they spent many hours processing and putting input, and they were not even listened to. And so it's just a dog and pony show. The city already has its own agenda.
All right, Antonio, thank you for the call and your reaction, Cheryl Scully, city manager.
Well, just to say that there were 160 residents from the community that participated on the bond committees, and I would say that they all felt that they had substantial input into the process. And they met, had each committee, each of the five committees had five meetings, plus they did a tour of projects on a Saturday pertaining to their subject area. We had 350 people speak at those meetings and provide input, and each of the committees deliberated, made adjustments in the list of potential projects, and then make recommendations to the city council. So it was a very deliberative process with a considerable amount of input, and I would add that it was a very civil conversation. People were respectful of one another and their views, and we were just very excited to get so much community participation.
City Manager Cheryl Scully, thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. Coming up in the next half hour, we're joined by former City Council member from District 10, Carlton Souls, and Christian Archer, a local political consultant who's leading the One San Antonio Political Action Committee on this effort. More questions back and forth about this bond package. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our conversation about the city's bond election that's coming up May 6th, $850 million on the ballot. But when there's ever that much money being spent by a city, there's going to be a lot of questions being asked. It's all part of the process. And to help us with that, we got former District 10 City Councilmember Carlton Souls. He joins us with his concerns. Also here is Christian Archer, a political consultant and he is leading the 1SA Political Action Committee that is informing the folks about the bond. We are invited into the conversation. We really want to hear your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. And thank you all so much for being here, Councilmember Soles. I'll still call you Councilmember as an honorific, even though you've been off for a while. And Christian Archer, great to be here. So since you've expressed your concerns, Carlton, tell me about what bothers you about this package.
Well, first, I appreciate this opportunity to get to talk to the audience. One of the things I want to do quickly is change of perception, and that is that I'm anti-bond. I'm not. Frankly, I supported the last bond that Mayor Castro had, and I went out and spoke and advocated for it, and I also supported the Harberger bond. This bond is different. It's a breakaway from what Castro and Harberger set as a precedent, and by that I mean that they took 20% roughly out of the last two bonds to dedicate towards citywide projects, and I think that's an appropriate thing. There are necessary citywide projects. Then the council districts had the remaining 80% split roughly evenly to handle the most critical council district projects, road projects, drainage projects, et cetera. This bond breaks from that tradition, and it takes nearly 46% of the total bond package and allocates it towards citywide projects. What that has done is it's left us in a situation where it's out of balance. There are several districts that are receiving an inordinate amount of money, whether it be citywide or district projects, at the expense of districts like, I'll say, 6, 7, 10, 5, that are receiving substantially less. So the top four districts are eating about 60% of the total bond package. The bottom four districts are receiving 23%. So my problem is not necessarily that we don't need a bond. We have huge critical infrastructure needs. We need a bond that is a little bit more fair. That's the break I have.
All right, let's get a response from a Christian Archer.
Well, one, the city council voted unanimously. So, you know, just to dispute what Carlton's saying, the city council supported it overwhelmingly. There was a huge amount of transparency in the process. Over 1,400 community residents attended the different events hosted by the 160 committee members. There was a phenomenal amount of public input, more than any other city puts in. Listen, I ran Harberger's bond campaign in 07. I ran Castro's bond campaign in 12, and I'm obviously running the 2017 bond campaign. Look, this is very similar in the way that this was handled by the city manager. We're the only major city in America with a AAA bond rating. This is going to come without a tax increase. We're the only city that gets to brag about that. But most importantly is the transparency, and to have so many community leaders involved in this process. It's the tradition that Cheryl Scully started. But listen, back to the citywide stuff. Let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story, because the facts are that this is about the community and making infrastructure investments all across this city. Now, before the 2007 bond and 12 bond, the council would divide it up by six. And so instead of ever being able to think about a major project starting from beginning to end, what happened was a frustration all across this community, because roads don't care about where the city council district lines are. Right. If you've got a road that goes through three council districts and a councilman wants to focus on that road, but this one doesn't, well, it doesn't get completed.
Because a few people live entirely with one city council district.
I mean, that's
you
make right.
your job may be someplace else.
That's right. And so they take Houseman Road and they travel through several city council districts. The right. only way to be able to get big projects done is by having a big, large vision and then the ability to get it done.
Well, all right, let me ask for calls. The number is 210-614-8980. We do want to hear from the community. What are your concerns about the bond? What are your questions? We want to answer those. So back to this former District 10 Councilmember Carlton Soles.
So let me touch on something that Christian said. I am not advocating for splitting the bond 10 ways. As we started out, I said I believe the model that Castro and Harberger ran of 20% for critical citywide projects, transformative projects, was appropriate. I do not believe that taking 40% is appropriate. Now, let's step back, because I know you want to talk a little bit about specific projects. I want to talk a little bit about what the true needs of the city are and what we should have been talking about with the bond. So let's start with, we have $1 billion worth of sewer lines that need repair. We've identified more than $1 billion worth of sidewalk repair.
But when does sewer lines, that's SAWS.
That's SAWS, but it's also owned by the city of San Antonio, and we're under an EPA judgment. What I'm getting to is the size of the magnitude of issues we've already identified. We have $2 billion in backlog on streets, and we are ranked last of the top four cities in quality of our roads. We have several billion dollars worth of unmet obligations or needs with the MPO and the Master Transportation Plan. So against this backdrop, we have billions of dollars of identified needs. The question I have with some of the projects is, for example, we have nearly $100 million dedicated to the urban core, really taking away lanes from downtown and Broadway to expand sidewalks and expand sidewalk cafes or bike lanes. Is that the most critical need that we have when we have billions of dollars of unmet needs?
Yeah, so, look. There
okay,
are
so let's respond to that singular point about Broadway.
Look, there's a great phrase, CAVER, citizens against virtually everything. The truth of the matter is, when you've got a great bond project, and San Antonio doesn't want to be an average city. We don't want to be a big box city. We want to have lots of great things that attract businesses, attract jobs. Look, there were people that came out and campaigned against the Harberger bond in 07 because there was way too much money being spent on the River North extension.
And I was not right? one of them.
And so there was $100 million invested in the bond, David. That is, there's $1 billion worth of infrastructure, 10,000 permanent jobs, residents that are now living there. I mean, the return on investment for that $100 million, it pays taxpayers back. It might have already paid the taxpayers back, that investment. And it's going to be there well past our lifetimes. Now, the Broadway corridor. So Carlton wants to say the Broadway corridor is all about downtown. It's just not true. It's just, you know, the facts just don't match it. It's another great investment in a great thriving area. But Broadway goes all the way to Hildebrand Road. So Carlton wants to say, oh, that's all about downtown. It's not about downtown. It's about making smart investments in our future that have got a return on investment. But you've also got a delicate balancing act. You don't just want to be a big box city. You want to invest in cultural things. You want to invest in our parks.
And I totally agree with that.
So
and
let
I
me ask say, you this. So what do you mean when you talk about citywide projects? What does that mean?
Okay. Well, let's take a support of a citywide project in the last bond.
Like what's in this project. Would you consider the Brackenridge Park, is that a citywide project?
Yes, and I'd also consider, and I am a fan of the Alamo and taking care of and revitalizing the missions. So that is a true citywide project. I don't have a problem with it.
So doesn't that kind of, when you look at these things, they happen to be in someone's particular city council district, the Alamo, the missions, UTSA.
Wait a second. Let's talk about UTSA.
Well, no, we're just talking about this one specific point. Okay. We'll get into UTSA all you want. But just saying that does kind of skew the math that you're bringing forward, saying that it doesn't really favor all of the districts uniformly because we have specific needs in specific areas.
So let's take if we took the last model, the Castro model, and we applied it to this bond, on average, you would have each district receiving about $68 million for district projects. And then you would have $170 million going towards citywide projects. And those could be anywhere in the city. They could be a medical center. They could be in District 3. They could be wherever. I don't have a problem with that. The question I have and the problem I have, and particularly if you're just listen to what Christian said about the transformative nature of Broadway that's going to really help a few individuals and a lot of developers.
It's not a few individuals. Hold on, wait a second. It's return on investment.
Okay, return on investment. Let's talk about the 150,000 people that live in District 6, which is the fastest growing district in the city today, who are only receiving $44 million out of this entire bond package. Less than roughly 5%.
Look, that's
so that's a worthy discussion.
It just doesn't hold water.
Okay, so let me ask real quick. Do you remember not that long ago when Broadway was basically deserted? It was empty lots and not a whole lot of activity. So now we're seeing a turnaround. How important has that been for the city?
It's fantastic, and I applaud private investment for coming in and doing what they need to do. I do not think that taking away two lanes of Broadway to expand sidewalk cafes meets the threshold of most critical needs for the city when we have billions of dollars of infrastructure that we have already identified. Quite frankly, I was on the MPO. I've been involved with road projects. I don't remember Broadway ever coming up as a critical need through any of those organizations. Just somehow magically within the last year, that became the biggest project we needed to do.
David, look.
You got 30 seconds.
Okay, when it rains on the north side, you need drainage there, right? And so, I mean, the whole theory here is just completely flawed. You need to put the drainage project where it currently needs drainage.
So why does that?
And so if it's way? Well, it's no. When you look at ceiling channel, and I'll get back to it after the break. But when you look at ceiling channel, that is a past, present, and future. All of the bonds were needed in order to complete that project. So,
all right. Obviously, a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to keep talking about it in the next 15 minutes here on The Source. Call in with your questions and comments about the city's bond, 210-614-8980. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the city's bond program. $850 million goes to the voters on May the 6th. We're joined by former District 10 City Councilmember Carlton Soles. He has concerns with some of the issues. Also here is Christian Archer, a political consultant and leading the 1SA Political Action Committee. Comes up a lot, the land bridge at Hardberger Park. I don't even really understand what a land bridge is. So can you tell me what that means, Christian Archer?
Well, it's to connect the two big pieces of the park.
But as a big piece of land?
Yeah, it's an actual bridge that's got land on it, and you can walk from this part of the park over to that part of the park, and you're still, you know, it's still land. It's kind of like a tunnel. There's a big bridge, and it becomes part of the park.
Some people are very excited about this bridge,
absolutely,
saying that this is going to be cool, awesome, and other people are saying it's for deer and driving.
Forgot
down.
The raccoons.
Well, look, that's just silly. I mean, look, there are plenty of people that all they want to do is recoil back and say, no, we can't have great things. Hardberger Park is a great investment for the city. It's a great place for families to recreate. It connects two parts of the park. You're talking about $120 million in this bond that are going to go to the park system all across this city. So it's $13 million of that goes to Hardberger Park. Phil Hardberger, the former mayor, has agreed to raise $10 million privately to fund the entire project. So I think it's a great public-private partnership. It's going to create a unique, great space for families to recreate. Why wouldn't we want to be proud of our park system and make great investments and make sure they're great American parks? We deserve that in San Antonio.
So, Carlton Soles, are you for or again the land bridge?
I have an issue with that as a priority, and I had the privilege of serving on the Parks Board before I was a city councilman. One of the things that we identified was that simply the park system is not doing basic maintenance. So too many of these bond projects, you have a leaking roof in this facility that could have been fixed for $30,000. We wait until the roof caves in. We have a bond to replace the roof for $300,000. In the bond committee meetings...
Is that a specific example or just in theory?
That is systemic throughout the entire park system. We had people coming to the parks committee meetings saying we need our roads paved in the park, our parking lots paved. We need our bathrooms repaired. We need lights. We need basic amenities throughout all of the parks, you know, south side, west side, north side. So the question again becomes, when we have tremendous needs, not would it be nice to have? Of course it'd be nice to have. But is this the best place to spend $13 million? Again, when we have billions of dollars worth of road needs, is Broadway and taking away lanes to make better coffee shops, is that the priority?
It's a part of the park's master plan. Right. The citizens got to have an amazing amount of input through this incredible transparency.
And all three members.
Excuse me one second. And then the council voted on it unanimously to approve it.
Let's talk about transparency on that project specifically.
Well, I need to get to these callers. Okay, I got a lot of callers here. So Winnetka,
this is entertaining.
The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join a conversation. Winnetka is on the line. Winnetka, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I certainly appreciate this ability to talk back the city people, especially the gentleman from whatever committee he's on. I definitely agree with Mr. Soule, the fact that the priority, the necessity, the basic structural projects are much more important. Broadway is already development. If it's already working, it's according to the city person, the investment, then the investors already know it's a good thing to invest. They don't need city sponsorship for that. So I really question the wisdom of the city person. Is he on city payroll, by the way, or is he just a volunteer?
Okay, so we'll get to that.
He's a paid lobbyist.
All right, so Winnetka, thank you for the call. So
that is another lie by Carlton Soule. Okay. I'm not a paid lobbyist.
He's a paid consultant.
Okay,
I'm
so
not
you're
a paid lobbyist.
So are you a paid consultant? Have you ever been a paid consultant?
I have been a paid consultant,
okay,
on this project.
All right, then. Chris Archer does not work for the city of San Antonio.
Don't work for the city.
People who work for the city of San Antonio are not allowed to
advocate
or lobby or speak in favor or do anything in favor or against this type of issues.
And look, David,
that's why we need some people to step up and take the lead.
That's right.
Like we don't have a vital civic conversation.
Our job in the campaign. So we've got former general and CEO of the largest employer USAA, General Joe Robles, is helping to lead the effort on the bond campaign. To the caller's question, it's a great question. I mean, look, there's a delicate balance, but people in 07, listen, there were the Carlton Souls in 07 that were against everything and that were against investing in the River North expansion that has $1 billion worth of investment, huge return on our money. This is the same thing with the Broadway Corridor. I mean, look, it's so easy to say no and not have a vision. It's easy to be short-sighted and say, oh, look, you know, all of these needs. There's a delicate balance between the hardcore needs and what makes our city great. Things like Alamo Plaza. That's going to make our city even better. A Broadway Corridor is going to be a great thing. It just takes vision. It you've got to get out of the short-sighted, you know, with short-sightedness and not be able to think about our city in the long term. We have exploding population, and we want to continue to bring in great jobs and great businesses. And the way you do it is have a great city, have a lot of options for families when they come here. And that's what will attract good-paying jobs.
A quick response, Carlton Souls.
Well, I mean, I think it's wonderful to have $1,500 to $2,000 apartments and sidewalk cafes serving $18 margaritas, but that is not what the average citizen of San Antonio can afford to do. And we need to talk about how do we fix the basic infrastructure needs throughout the city. Now, I do want to touch back on Harburger Park, and we talked about transparency. And he said this is the most transparent process there ever was. On the Parks Board Committee, all three members of District 8's appointees were current board members of the Harburger Park Conservancy, lobbying for, talking about this project, voting to put forth this project. If you were in District 8 and you had another park, good luck trying to get attention to
Carlton, let me ask you a question. So there are going to be six propositions on the upcoming ballot. Which ones are you going to vote for and which ones are you going to vote against? Are you going to vote against $120 million being invested in the parks because of $13 million going to Harburger Park, where he's going to literally raise half the money? Are you going to vote against the parks? Are you voting for the streets?
I probably will not. Now, let me talk about that. They make it sound like a vote.
So let me just explain that to the listeners, because the bond package is broken up into six different propositions. Right. The voters have a choice. They can decide if they want to vote yes for streets and drainage and all these other cultural items, and they can vote for whether or not the city neighborhood improvement projects. So that's transparency.
$445 million in the streets.
That is absolute choice, and I believe people will make up their own minds.
$140 million in drainage. These are huge numbers in infrastructure.
The misnomer. There are lots of good projects in this bond, no doubt about it, and lots of things that need to be done. There are lots of questionable projects in this bond. I've heard more than one councilman tell me and tell the public, this isn't a perfect bond. Well, why not?
Well, it's never going to be a perfect bond. Look, there are $2 billion in the
bond. Hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm going to stop right now.
No?
I'm putting a caller on the air. Dustin is on the line. Hey, Dustin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My question was about bringing something up I don't think y'all touched on yet, was UTSA.
Yes.
The amount of money that they were receiving. I think it was $25 million to build a brand new athletics facility. And that's just something I really can't support and get on board with. You know, I understand that, you know, bringing up new renovations, but how is the UTSA receiving this new athletics facility really going to help the taxpayer overall? Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you for the call, Dustin. Carlton Souls.
The wonderful question, and it gets back to, with all the needs I've just identified, why is this a need, especially when you have the UT endowment fund is, I believe, the second largest in the country.
So let's get the numbers right. The number right is actually $10 million. He said 25, right. When I'm looking at the documents, it's $10 million.
Right. So, I mean, there's no doubt that UTSA would like to have another athletic facility. And if we had all the money in the world to do it, I would, you know, I guess I could go along with it. But again, we have billions of dollars of unmet basic needs. And we're talking about giving $10 million to an organization, the UT system, that has multi-billion dollar endowments.
All right.
Why do they need it?
Christian Archer.
Yeah, look, this is an $850 million investment in infrastructure needs for this city. Now, not only is it $850 million, but what Cheryl's been able to do is she now leverages $350 million additional dollars from the state and the federal and the county governments. So we're talking about $1.2 billion in addressed infrastructure needs for our city. So, again, are you going to vote no on all six?
I haven't decided.
Yeah. Well, I think you ought to decide that pretty soon. The election's not that far away. And to be saying that you're against it and yet not knowing how you're going to vote,
One last caller, Joe Lee. Joe Lee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Real quick.
Hello. VIA has been running for the past 30 years, and we need to make some improvements in the bus system. The bus system, it's just slow, and in many areas it doesn't run that often. It doesn't run that late, and it's very difficult to get from one part of the to the other.
All right, Joe, I got to cut you off because I got 1 minute left in the program. Transportation really not part of the bond package as far as, but improving streets,
is $445 million in the bond for streets alone. There's an additional $140 million for drainage. This bond is about fixing the infrastructure needs. There's more than $2 billion in needs. And you can't address it all at once. But Ceiling Channel, where we kicked the campaign off, it was involved in the 2007, the 2012, and the 2017
Souls, you got maybe 10, 15 seconds.
I think it's interesting to hear that how hard they're pushing against me just bringing up alternatives.
No, we're not pushing against you.
I'm talking about Christian.
Well, have some vision.
I have lots of vision.
All right. Carlton Souls, former city council member, District 10. It's Christian Archer. He's leading the One San Antonio Political Action Committee. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.